an ISB Audio production.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Panther Podcast Studios.
Tucked away in a small corner of the ISB library, we spotlight great things and great individuals from the ISB community.
Let's get to know today's guest.
Michelle, thanks so much for joining me today in the podcast studios here at ISB.
It's an honor to be here. I'm really excited that you asked me.
We're excited to have you because, you know, you take care of us, or our stomachs at least, our palates in so many ways. And I'm not sure everybody knows you. And I know I've gotten to know you a little bit. We talked before the show. And I think it's great that we can share your story. And part of that story is, what do you do here? I mean, I see you out there making things happen, but could you tell us a little bit about what you do here at ISB?
So I consider myself the umbrella of the catering services at ISB.
Ah, nice description.
So we take care of the elementary school cafeteria, the middle school, high school cafeteria, and then anything that is associated with food and beverage at ISB. So all the catering functions that we have, the meetings, the dinners, any seminars that come on campus that need food or beverage. And so what I do is we're a team of 50 Epicure staff here. I basically supervise 50 people and the jobs that they're doing between the two coffee shops that we have also, and the two cafeterias and the menus, and then the implementation of the service. And I take all the orders for the additional catering.
All right. Now, you told me before you've been here about 8+ years here at ISB.
That's correct.
And how did you end up in this type of work? Because your story isn't what I suspected, at least. Explain that to us.
Well, I am here very coincidentally, in fact. My kids attend a different school in Bangkok. I had been heavily involved there volunteering to help out with the catering services and the food services, because I believe that food in schools is so important.
Sure.
And so many schools, they fall short with that. And food is served that really isn't necessarily so nutritious or fresh. And I wanted to be very involved to make sure that my kids were getting the best food possible. And it just happens to be that I met the owner of Epicure at the school, who met me. And he just happened to be looking for a new person to manage the services here at ISB. And so he approached me one day. He said, "Michelle, I would actually like to take you and start paying you for what you do. So instead of coming to the school and volunteering,
right,
I'd like you to come join ISB and manage the food services up there."
And of course you said yes. That's the whole reason I'm here and been volunteering, because this is the one thing I wanted to do, right?
Exactly. Well, actually, quite to the contrary.
Ah.
I said, "What? Manage the school cafeteria?" That had never crossed my mind before. I said, "I don't know about that." And I said, "ISB is quite far away, so I'm not sure. Let me give it a think." And a few months later, here I am.
So, I don't know, 6 months into the job, did you ever have that feeling like, what am I doing here? Any regrets at that point?
No, absolutely not.
It's been fun for all 8 years.
I came in and it was a big, big job getting everybody on board.
Sure.
I came in the middle of the school year, so it was felt maybe a little disruptive. I came in February. And so there was a leadership change there at Epicure here at ISB, and menus changed, and of course getting the staff to know me and getting everyone on board about how we're going to be doing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite an adjustment for everybody.
So I imagine the difficulty of the job is, so you have to balance these needs of different people. So like, maybe I really like franchise, which actually I do. So there's those needs of the individual people that want things maybe even more specific than french fries, let's say vegan or something like that. And then you have the needs of just servicing an entire group, a large population, and all the budgeting and logistics that goes behind that. Tell us about that dance. It must be a logistical dance or nightmare between balancing what people need versus what individually need or small groups need versus the whole.
That's a great question. We get a lot of requests. And of course, as everyone knows, we're a school that with many, many different nationalities and different ways of cooking.
Right, all those
and
different
religious
palates.
Beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
And not only dietary restrictions, but also the religious beliefs, like I said. And so the way that we balance it is that we cater to the majority, not to 100%, because it's impossible to meet the needs of 100% of the student and faculty and parent population.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that I see it is that if we're meeting the needs of about 95% of the people, we're doing a really excellent job. And so the way that I base it is that at Epicure, we first of all look at all the diet, the allergy requirements.
Sure.
All of the allergy requirements need to be met.
So those are like a must do.
That's uh-huh. a must. And so it needs to be, we need to have gluten-free, egg-free, dairy-free dishes every single day. And of course, we need to have vegetarian. And in high school, middle school, we have a little bit of vegan also. Mm-hmm. It's a small number, but I do see that it is more and more older students are going in that direction. And so then we take into account just trying to get the freshest food that we can, the most local food that we can, and preparing everything almost homemade on campus.
Okay.
And so as long as I know that the product that we are serving is good and it's tasty and it's healthy and it meets the most of people's needs and it tastes good, then I know that we're doing a good job.
Okay, you said majority, which my guess would be 52%, but then you say 95%. So really, you're getting well above the majority.
That's my hope that that's how it is.
Uh-huh.
And I know that sometimes it's hard to have a survey. If you ask people how happy are they with the cafeteria, basically, there is only one survey that comes out every year, and that's the survey that goes out to the students on their school survey every
okay,
year,
yeah,
and
the
then there's the
one.
Cafeteria
okay.
question in uh-huh. there. And I have to say that after I initially came in and we changed the menus and changed a lot of the service around, that the satisfaction level jumped by 100%.
Oh, wow.
And it has stayed at that level.
Okay.
So basically meaning that yes.
Okay. So you're at least pleasing 95%, which is pretty incredible.
I think so. And the way that I look at that is I just observe mm-hmm. how many kids are actually eating with us. And I'll go around and also ask people, give me your feedback. And if you're not eating with us, why is it?
Right. How much do you think, so I enjoy the cafeteria. And I think one of the things I enjoy is the massive variety actually is there. And like, it sounds like maybe that was done and not necessarily on purpose. It's because you had so many diverse needs that you had to take care of. Or is it also done on purpose? Like that's just part of a good cafeteria's variety.
I think it is actually done on purpose.
Oh, it is. Okay.
We try to have, we're an international school. So uh-huh. we try to have an international cafeteria.
Okay.
So the, for example, we sometimes have groups that come and say, why can't we have more of this certain type of food
right.
from my country?
Yeah, French fries, yeah.
Exactly. Why can't we have French fries more
often?
Oh,
those are pretty international. I see,
right.
I see every kind of kid going in there.
Right.
But go on.
And I say that, basically we will try foods from different countries
uh-huh.
and we will just see what sells most. And that's how we can base if we're going to serve it again or not. And someone will say, why didn't you serve it again? It was really delicious. And I said, that's true.
Yeah.
Most of the things that we make, actually, I love.
Yeah, yeah.
But if nobody else, if the majority, we're back again to the majority, if the majority are not in love with it, then likely it won't come back onto the menu.
So is that part of the whole process maybe? So you have, I don't know, say a staple of 60 or 70% of the things stay the same. And then do you like rotate? I'm guessing the numbers here, 30% of things kind of come in and out as you try new things. And is that fun?
That is really fun. We
okay.
create a skeleton menu of 1 month in both cafeterias.
Uh-huh.
And then after each week, actually, we'll review to see what worked and what didn't work. And what do we need to tweak to make it better? And what do we just kick out because we're tired of and introduce something new?
Okay. So you have all that data based on sales.
Correct.
That lets you know what's really popular.
Correct.
Okay.
And just based on what people ask for.
Uh-huh. All right, Michelle, I wanted to turn to the new cafeteria that we see. And I'm guessing that when you came here, you inherited existing facilities. And over time, you probably thought if we just had. And you probably, I'm sure, made some changes individual. But now that you were able to make wholesale changes, tell us about, I don't know, maybe what was the most exciting or best part of making those changes?
The best part is getting new equipment.
Ah, I see.
The equipment that we had before was literally breaking down daily. And uh-huh. it was just trying to maintain that became a full-time job. I felt like we were maintaining equipment more than we were cooking.
Okay.
So that's the most exciting thing for us is having new equipment that actually works and works better than the old ones did.
All right.
And our previous kitchen was also a purpose-built kitchen, which means that every single
function... Well, that's a good thing, right?
That is a good thing. That was our old kitchen, though. It was a purpose-built kitchen, which means that each function actually was performed in a different room. So it was completely separated by walls.
Okay.
And as you can now see through the windows,
yeah,
is that
it's
been opened up and it's a big, big room.
Okay.
And I think that's actually exciting because the staff can talk to each other now and makes it a little bit more conducive to teamwork and makes it a little bit more transparent as far as what's going on in the kitchen and who's back there and what are they doing.
Right. And how much did the staff enjoy the new kitchen? Were they thrilled by it, or is there that tension of, oh, I've got new things I've got to learn and do?
I think getting into the new kitchen is the hardest thing I've done since I've been at ISB.
Really? Okay.
Yes. It's much harder than just coming in here new and trying to change everything because we had a really great routine down.
Right.
And then now we have a new kitchen that requires a new routine, requires a completely different way of doing things than we've ever, way that we've done them before.
Uh-huh.
And something people that don't know is that we actually moved into the kitchen on Monday night. And school opened on Tuesday.
Yeah, I knew that because you told me, but nobody else knew. And that's a compliment to you that it wasn't obvious to everyone, right?
I certainly hope not. But that was the most stressful time I think we have all ever had. So if you ask the staff, are they loving the new cafeteria? No, we were not.
but now?
We are starting to just now.
Okay.
Because it is, what is it? It's beginning, we've been in school now for 7 weeks,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, sure. It's because October now.
And in fact, we just moved into our storage room this week.
Okay.
And we're just actually finalizing some little touch-ups about things that initially were not working because we didn't even have time to test them.
Sure, sure.
So just now, we are starting to enter a routine and now starting to enjoy our new facility.
So certainly it's kind of like being new to a school. The second year is always the best. You're like, hey, I get it now.
Exactly.
I know how everything works. I've had a break. Those kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about food trends and how food service is changing. And at least in the U.S., there's always a lot of information about health. And I think back to the unhealthy choices I certainly had when I was young and how there's so many more healthy changes now. How much does that play a role in that and how the food trends are changing? Maybe you could talk about what do you see in the future coming for a cafeteria? What might it look like 10 years from now?
I love that question, and thank you very much, because I think the trend in the past was more processed foods.
Sure. Easier to make.
I'm sorry?
Easier to make, right?
Easier to make, cheaper, you know.
Full of calories.
Full of calories, fills you up. There's lots of great things about it, except that it's completely unhealthy.
Except for that, yeah.
Exactly.
Would you say the trend is trending more towards healthy? Where's it going to go?
I think that, so if you even look back at ISB and what the food service used to be before Epicure came in, it was also more fast food and a lot of like processed meats and things like that. And the trend that we have been following is back to basics.
Oh.
Okay. The less processed, the least amount of travel distance of food can come is the best. And
it's an interesting way to phrase it. By distance traveled.
Traveled. So I think one of the newest things that people will not know is that we're starting to distance ourselves even from soy sauce, for example.
Oh, no.
And that's a staple in Thai food.
And Japanese, sure. Yeah.
And in Japanese, although Japanese, they have using a slightly different type of soy sauce.
Oh,
but like in elementary, we've almost eliminated soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And in high school, we're going to be using less and less of it. But like I just said, the trend, I think, in the future, and I've talked to the chefs about this also, because the chefs that are working at ISB have also learned how to cook with a bunch of seasonings.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of just the basics, like, removing all the pre-mixed seasonings, but just back to just salt or just pepper or just curry powder. And the trend that I see is that it will continue in that direction. And that chefs and kitchens and restaurants or schools that are not keeping up with that trend, they're going to fall behind.
Like, I wouldn't notice those trends necessarily in the change of the food, other than it's just healthier for me. But it seems like it's a change you can make without disrupting what it looks like or how it feels to eat.
I think the taste is going to change just slightly, like it always does. These, these changes, we've been undergoing these changes for the last years already.
Okay.
Very gradually, that we're just moving more into basic. But I find that the taste changes, but I think it tastes better because you actually get to taste the food and not the seasoning.
All right. And they've talked about, let's say, drinks, for example, soft drinks are so heavy in sugar, more than the palate needs. But then I adjust to that and I have that expectation of higher sugar. And so when I eat an apple, I'm all, this isn't satisfying. Or it would have been maybe 30 years ago before I had that assault of sugar.
Right. That's right. And habits form really quickly, and just like they do with food. And there are certain things that are also addictive to food, and sugar is addictive, and so is too much salt and all that kind of thing. So if you're drinking drinks or you're eating food that's made with way too much of this kind of stuff, you need it, and your body craves it. And so it becomes hard to go back.
Sure. Kind of like caffeine. I get it.
Exactly.
You're not taking that away. That's not part of the trend?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, I heard a yet, though. Uh-oh. Or if you could just slowly reduce the amount of caffeine. So there's got to be good parts and bad parts of the job, and I wanted to ask you about the good parts. Like, what are, you know, people say to you, what, you know, maybe somebody you just meet, they say, what's so cool about that? What do you enjoy about your job? What are the exciting parts?
It's so multifaceted. Uh-huh. And number one, I love working with lots of people. And of course, this is the place to do that. And it's with every different age group.
Oh, yeah.
And I think working at a school is super exciting because there's always so much going on and so much learning and so much just different ideas and different expertise. And I love food, like I said before, and I think it's a really, really important component of any place that is an educational institution. And I love the impact that we as the catering service have been able to have environmentally also. Mm-hmm. Everyone will have noticed that we have gotten rid of tons of plastic over the last years.
Yeah, right.
Our usage of plastic and also the food that we choose to purchase. Uh-huh. And I say choose because we look very carefully actually about the types of menus that we create and how environmentally sound and sustainable they are, not only for the environment, but also for our own health. And so that includes less of lots of kinds of meats. Mm-hmm. And people will say, well, what's wrong with beef or what's wrong with pork? There's actually nothing wrong with it, but there is something wrong with mass-produced food.
Right.
And if someone takes a closer look into that, it is something that I don't think anyone should be having too much of. Uh-huh. And so we choose to reduce those and focus on other things that are going to be in alignment with the environment and our health.
Okay. Well, thank you for continuing to make my stomach happy. All right. Before we get into buy, sell, or hold, just the last question. What keeps you up at night? You'll wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, I've got to, or what do you worry about?
Actually last night I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, did I tell that person that we needed that extra special thing at the middle school conferences today at that function?
So is it those sort of little specific details that
it's those little
impact?
Details like, oh no, did I remember to do that? And do we have enough?
Because the details must be endless. So
the details are endless. And then, so if you ask me about one of my biggest challenges here at ISB is communication.
Okay.
And it's not only communication as far as the language that we're speaking, but it's also a cultural barrier.
Okay.
So it's a double communication barrier for me, and something that I assume that everyone else understands on my team. Oftentimes it's not the case.
Okay.
And it's being as specific and detailed as I possibly can. And then on the times when I think I was detailed and specific enough, something still goes awry and turns out differently than we thought.
All right. Okay, now we're going to move into our game of buy, sell, or hold, where if the idea was a stock or a company, would you buy it? Would you sell it? Would you hold it? Let us know and then explain your reason for that choice. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Buy, sell, or hold the idea that electric shock devices will be attached to some of the plates and cups to discourage people from walking away with them.
I'm going to say buy.
You're going to buy that.
I love that idea.
So we should be, you could do it with just a few and then we would never know which ones it was.
I'm laughing because as everyone knows, well, as people may not know, that's actually a huge problem in the cafeteria.
Yeah, I can imagine.
All the pieces of cutlery and plates and everything that disappear on a yearly basis, and that everyone always thinks, oh, but I'm just going to go into my office or I'm just going to go do this, but it actually never returns.
I see.
So I would have to say I'm going to buy that
one. You're going to buy that. Yes. Okay. All right. We'll be on watch now for it. Okay. Buy, sell, or hold. Heaven is actually filled with crickets who will be quite upset to meet those of us who enjoyed the cricket powder from years past.
Ooh, buy. Yeah. That is the trend also, is that we're moving into alternatives for high and wonderful protein sources, which are crickets. Mm-hmm. And thanks for that question, because we will be bringing them back.
Okay. So I need to be careful at the end of my life. Because we're always worried that heaven is ruled by crickets, who might be a little grumpy. Okay, last question, buy, sell, or hold. Food choices will swing back at some point in the future to the less healthy, and I'll finally be able to get soft drinks and chips to ruin my stomach.
Sell.
Sell. Not going to happen.
I think that ISB is a school that cares too much about the food that they serve their students, and so they definitely would not be going in that direction.
Okay, got it. Michelle, thank you so much for all you do to help us get energy and be happy every day, and for telling us a little bit about the story behind what happens here at ISB with our food service.
Well, thank you so much. Love being here.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's program. For more information, head to our website, pantherpod.isb.ac.th. And while you're there, why don't you leave us a comment or two? We love to hear from you.